Welcome, everyone. This is Suki Wessling, and I am interviewing today Chef Andrea Mullenauer. We are going to talk about food and food education and how families can learn more about food and enjoy food and cooking together. Welcome, Andrea.
Thank you. Two of my favorite things, talking about food and educating people around food and their food choices. Thank you for having me.
Welcome. It's so fun to talk to someone who has done so much. Could you give us a little bit of a capsule review of the many things that you do?
Well, thank you. I'll go through a little time capsule then. And I'm a caterer. So I began my culinary career actually in Santa Cruz at Cabrillo College Culinary and became a caterer and worked in the community for many years doing that. And at one point, just some random question from a client was, do you teach? And I thought, well, I can teach how to cook. And so I said, sure. And lo and behold, that landed me, fast forward a little bit, that landed me a teaching job for the high schools. The Santa Cruz County Office of Education offers career and technical education courses. And so I am a caterer who has been teaching in the high schools about career exploration and industry, culinary industry related topics for like 13, 14 years now as well. I recently came full circle and started teaching at Cabrillo, back where I began. And on top of that, I also own a food and event related business in Santa Cruz called the Food Lounge. And so I kind of have my fingers in almost every area of food and education in the community, and I love it.
That's excellent. Yeah, it's so great when you can teach something that you're passionate about and pass it along. And I know the CTE program is really wonderful that way, and especially in the county. Just I've met so many interesting people who are teaching their passion, either people who are retired who want something to do or people who are in the midst of their career the way you are. And I know my son just absolutely loved the CTE classes he took, so it's really cool that you're doing that.
They're engaging, you know, depending on a student's learning style. I believe that the career and technical education courses really meet a lot of needs for students in the community. They get to, you know, get their hands busy in an era where everyone likes stimulation at that age. And so keeping their hands busy, learning skills, not just technical skills like cooking or fixing a bike or, you know, learning medical technologies or digital design, but they're also learning things like how to show up on time and how to, you know, improve your resume. What does that even mean to a young person until they really need one? And so I love the career and technical education courses, and I'm a big proponent of teaching people how to cook really early on. So
yeah,
glad to be doing it.
Yeah. One question I had for you is about what you're facing when you walk into a classroom as far as standard American culture goes. As far as food is concerned, I would say that the average family heats more than they actually cook. Would you agree with that? And is that what you see from your students?
I would agree. Perhaps I see a slice of the community that is maybe a slightly different because they're interested in food. Therefore, they're not just eating out or heating up. And so I might see a slightly different slice of you know, the students that might be the Taco Bell, you know, frozen dinner style families. But I do agree with you. One of my mottos is that I'm teaching them either a little bit more about careers or at least how to not starve themselves on ramen noodles when they go off to college. So that whole heating up food and, you know, pulling something packaged or frozen out of the refrigerator, grabbing takeout, going through the drive-thru, it's real. It definitely is. And the COVID situation both helped and hindered that, because people started cooking a little bit more at home. And I believe that there are people cooking more at home because they are home more recently in the last year and a half. But then they're also encouraged to do takeout a lot rather than going out as family and community entities to restaurants. They're taking out. They're doing takeout and bringing it home from all varieties of restaurants that we didn't even think of before. So I don't know. We'll see what it brings after it's all over. But I still think it's fun when people learn where their food came from and how to make it for themselves. Overall, it makes better, well-rounded, more, you know, families and youth.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? Do you think that it once young people learn the basics of cooking, that they think about food differently, that they think about their health differently?
Oh, I believe it 100%. It doesn't always sink in immediately. They still, you know, have those foods that they love that are not necessarily healthy. But once they learn a little bit more about where their food comes from and what kind of nutrients are in food and how it fuels their body. And, you know, even young people who are thinking a lot about their appearance, and if they learn and understand that drinking a lot of water helps with like skin hydration, and, you know, eating healthy foods helps with their acne or their hair or their skin, there's this light bulb that goes off. And I feel as though it's definitely putting a seed into their minds about things they may not think about immediately, but that are going to be foundational for their future and keeping themselves healthy and making the right food choices and knowing that that exists versus perhaps some less healthy, you know, family or cultural habits.
Yeah. And that's, you know, we learn a lot from our family, but we also learn a lot from our peers and from the advertisements we see. And so, you know, largely things that get advertised are not healthy things. It's
so true.
You know, so how, you know, I guess I liked the idea that you said of planting the seed, because I think a lot of education is that there's a great misunderstanding of the point of education on the part of a lot of people, that the point of education is not to stuff data into kids' heads, especially now when we all have these devices that can get data within seconds more than we could ever stuff in our heads. You know, it's about teaching them to be aware of things and thinking about things. So you're putting this stuff in there, and hopefully.
Yeah. I was reading something recently too, in one of my emails that I receive as an educator, about how, you know, it's not the test that we make them cram for and, you know, try to get an A on that's going to teach them things. It's the learning process and the explanation and exploration of the things that we teach them that are really going to stick with them. And that's exactly kind of what you just mentioned, how, you know, we can't really just cram nutrition information or healthy or organic or, you know, choice eating habits into their minds and make them feel guilty about what they do like to eat and what they do and enjoy as treats and you know, occasional junk meals, but just really teaching them about how good food can be when it's fresh and when they understand which flavors they like and how to accomplish that with their own two hands in their own kitchens, whether it's in a microwave, on a stove, on the, you know, on the grill outside barbecuing for their family. So the hands-on component is really what I try to utilize to really spark their interest. And that, I believe, will stick with them. And I don't keep in touch with all of my students over the years. However, I'll hear from a student a few years later every once in a while that may have gone off, and they'll send me a picture of some food they made years later. And I'm like, they're still cooking. That's really cool.
Yeah. And the fact that they're thinking about you and connecting it. I mean, when you were talking, I was thinking about how cooking isn't just making something that you eat and then give yourself energy and nutrition. There's all of this stuff. It's problem solving, it's scheduling, it's delayed gratification. It's like
it's mathematics, it's science, it's inspiration and creativity. It's so multifold. Isn't food amazing?
Yeah. And it's so many of the skills that people say that they want kids to have, right? That, that I think it's so important for kids to practice the skills that they need in, you know, more boring subjects, you know, academic subjects that they might not enjoy, in subjects that they do enjoy, because those skills transfer over. And, you know, I'm sure you've seen this with your students.
I have, and I've seen it with many of the other career and technical education classes as well. You know, it's not just for the student who's doing poorly that's going to do okay in a career tech ed class. It's for the students that want to practice that real world application of their math and science or their writing or their history, or, you know, and so I see it both in my class and the way in which I teach, you know, world cuisines and the science of baking. But I also hear about it from my other colleagues when they're teaching them about construction technology, and they have to learn geometry really clearly and understand this, you know, the safety and the science behind all of the tools and the industry. So it's definitely something that I believe should be more prized in the school setting, that is sometimes cast aside when budget, you know, considerations come around and stuff. But I think that Santa Cruz County has a really good support for our career and technical education courses.
Yeah, it does seem that way, and it seems like it's really valued by people who have their finger on the budget. So that's good. It's definitely good.
What's hard sometimes is to inform the students and their parents about these courses and the value that they add, because they're so focused on academics. They don't always realize these courses are available if the students or their parents aren't talking to the right counselors, and they don't always have the same perception. There might be some stigma around these types of courses, and that it's meant for the students who weren't succeeding in class, but it really isn't. I see so much like brilliance, so many light bulbs turn on when they're seeing their science or their math in application in our classroom, when they're cooking, baking, converting recipes, scaling ingredients. And so hopefully we find a way of both like funding it and encouraging students and getting them excited, and, you know, encouraging the parents to see the value in it as well.
Yeah. And I just, you know, when people talk about academics versus, you know, extracurricular stuff, I just remember myself as a high schooler. I was a really good student and I hated school. I only liked school for the extracurricular stuff. So, you know, I was into music and sports and everything, and that's why I turned up. And so it's not just, you know, the people focus on the low achieving students and say, well, we'll do this for them. It's like, no, this is for everybody. This is part of what makes education fun. You know what, some, of course, because some kids find math fun, but if you are, you know, doing something mathematical in your cooking class, which you really enjoy, that transference, I think, is really important to then go to math class. And then, you know, you've been cooking, you've had your hands and stuff, and then you can sit and focus, you know, and there's more meaning to what you're doing.
And that is what makes education well-rounded, a mm-hmm. little bit of both of those types of courses and that light bulb that goes on for the students when they're able to apply it more than just in their textbooks. Yeah. And I don't know if you know this, but if anyone is interested, and if any of the students or parents listening are interested, some of these courses are worth college credit. And so they're cooking and they're getting elective units at their high school. And with a successful grade, they can transfer the course units to a college level course as if they took it on campus at Cabrillo. And those units are transferable to colleges of their choice as if they'd taken the units and were transferring to another location. And so the courses aren't just, oh, that's fun, they're going to learn how to cook. They're also being, you know, really well designed so that the content is rigorous and the units are worth something. And so these high school students of mine, they leave high school and they've already got a couple units community college units under their belt. And that's pretty confidence building. That's pretty cool for them right there. ¶¶
We're speaking with Chef Andrea Mullenauer about teaching cooking to children and young adults. And we started with talking about the CTE classes in high school that Andrea teaches. And now I'd like to talk a little bit about what happens when they go on. So how many of your students do you think go from the high school CTE classes to the Cabrillo Culinary Program?
Well, I don't know any stats per se. However, I am, as I mentioned, I'm newly, just this new school year since September, I'm teaching at Cabrillo in the, as a faculty in the Culinary Arts Department. And I have several of my former high school students in my courses. And so I'm seeing them, you know, 1, 2, 3 years later at the college level, like genuinely interested in culinary as a career. And I would say it's a very small percentage compared to the large numbers of high school students that I have come through my course. But when I see them there and they're still passionate about food and they're super stoked and they're trying really hard, it was really exciting for me to come in and see like a half dozen students still, you know, cooking and getting their hands, you know, in the food. I was so excited. It was like a teacher's, you know, pride, moment of pride, so to say.
Yeah, definitely. And to think that, you know, some of them might never have thought about a career in food if you hadn't had that class at their high school. You never know. So
you never know. They probably would have had a food job. I'd say food jobs are very, very popular amongst young people because they often don't require a degree. You know, you can get in at a lower level busser or server and climb the ladder in a food industry job. But they may be utilizing the newfound information or passion for job advancement, pay advancement, or career exploration. So hopefully, you know, whatever their path is, you know, the education is creating a foundation for them, whether it's in high school or at the college.
Yeah, I remember when my teenager was in high school, he wanted to take some of the foundational courses in the culinary school. And we went to the sort of informational meeting. And they said that one of the problems that students have when they're there is that restaurants start to try to poach them. Because once they have some skills, and they said, it's really important that you stay here till you get your degree, because you are going to make a lot more money, but they're going to start wanting you. Just warning.
It's true. And a lot of them want the experience. They want the internship. They want the experience. They want the money. So they start working. And then it makes it really hard for them to continue their classes because they're working hours that they would normally be in school. And, you know, because the food industry is just like day, night, weekends, holidays. And then they end up not finishing. And that is very true. You're correct. The statistics there are staggering. And yet the stats also exist that say that in general, an entry-level position can make $10,000 more a year just by having a certificate. And so they're really missing that opportunity sometimes.
Yeah. So stay in college, guys. Yeah.
So,
enjoy your time. And so, I mean, the other thing is that you have the restaurant at Cabrillo. So can you talk a little bit about how that works with the program?
Certainly. It's not every culinary school has a restaurant or what we call a public-facing portion of the education. And Cabrillo is lucky to have it. It's been a little bit interesting during the 2021 and then the 20, you know, basically starting COVID, we had to jump some hurdles and the restaurant had to close and the catering events had to stop. But we were still able to kind of pivot and reconfigure what we were doing with the students to keep them, you know, learning and getting hands-on work experience. And so we're doing a lot of takeout, lunch and dinner. Both of those courses, the beginning and advanced class, lunch and dinner, have pivoted to takeout. And so you can still get food on the days that we were open. And then the catering class started doing all sorts of new things. We're working with, you know, local organizations to do drive through like catering pickups for their clients and their donors and their community that they want to do catering events for. And we created this kind of entrepreneurial side of the catering class where we crafted these culinary market boxes and we put them out to the community weekly. People can buy them, come pick them up, and then take food home that the students have made. So it's a great component to have, that hands-on public-facing enterprise for the students, because then they don't go off with just practical knowledge and information, but they have experience working with a customer. And it was also really hard to maintain that the integrity of that component of our program during COVID, but we made it work.
Yeah.
We're super innovative, and the instructors have been working really hard. And I think that the students are still seeing the value of working with the customer, picking up the phone, bringing out their deliveries. You know, it's been fun and hard all at once, but I love a challenge.
Well, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking that this is, well, there's just, you know, there's so many negative things we can say about the last year, but there's just, no matter who I talk to, there's all these silver linings, and you're describing a bunch of students who had to learn how to deal with life throwing one big fat hurdle right in front of the job that they thought they were going to have to do.
Mm-hmm. And creativity. Well, some of them have actually lost jobs that they had. And so we're trying to encourage and support them in any way we can to stay with their education and just kind of plug through it and trust that we're going to come out on the other end with jobs for them, you know, in the community. And then they've had to understand that what they were signing up for, you know, culinary education wise was going to be slightly different. You know, usually the catering class is 16 straight weeks of catering large 100 and 200 person events, really getting, you know, those hours in. And instead we're slowing down and we're innovating and we're thinking about, you know, how do you reinvent yourself as a business person? You want to be a caterer, you want to be a personal chef, you want to open a bakery. What happens during the slow season? How do you reinvent yourself when the trends change? And so I believe that the silver lining for us is that it's helping us reinvent the courses and the program in a way that's actually kind of better for the students. It's creating a more well-rounded program and slowing us down and allowing us to really focus on the learning and still offer some small, you know, public facing events and opportunities for them to come get food. So I'm an optimist. You know, you may have heard me speak before. I'm always looking for, you know, the positivity in every situation. And I believe that, you know, just continuing to teach people about food and teach them hard work and innovation and determination is what's going to get us through it.
I know that you're also going to be doing something on the far other end of the educational spectrum. You're doing summer camp. Can you talk about that?
Oh, with the little ones.
Yes.
Yeah. I've done many youth camps over the years, and some of them I designed myself and have done out of my commercial kitchen in downtown Santa Cruz. And every once in a while I get asked to teach by Cabrillo Extension, the Extension program, with all of the kind of community-based courses and then like youth camps and things in the summer. So this year in June, and I believe there's also there are a ton of youth extension courses, both food related and all sorts of other art, dance, and design. But there's a baker, a very good friend of mine named Chef Stephanie Buswell. She's doing a whole bunch of youth baking camps. I'm doing 2 weeks, so two separate groups, 2 weeks of cooking and kind of creative cooking. And so we're going to talk a lot about market fresh foods, foundational cooking techniques, and I can get young people to eat things they never thought they liked. Their parents are amazed, and all of a sudden they're eating zucchini.
Uh-huh.
And it's because, you know, you put it in something delicious like a ratatouille and you talk about the movie and you make it fun, and suddenly they want to eat zucchini.
Uh-huh. That's great. And so this summer, will it be similar to previous years, or are they, is it smaller groups? Is it, how are you doing the the whole COVID learning thing?
We're definitely doing smaller groups all around, everywhere on campus. All the courses that are allowed to be deemed difficult to convert on campus, even right now, are smaller groups so that we can have small pods and we can control like how much space and how much distance in between them and everything in the classrooms. And so I believe the limit's going to be 11 or 12 young people per class. And we have a very large kitchen and we have an outdoor space. I love doing activities outdoors. I have them run around doing food scavenger hunts and all sorts of, you know, activities outside as well. We can eat out on the patio and spread out all over the lawn. And so we're going to be limiting sizes, but we're definitely going to still keep it really, really fun and engaging.
Uh-huh. So, so with little kids, what do you hope that they come away with from a class or a camp?
I hope they come away with, what's the word I'm looking for? I want them to feel adventurous. I want them to feel adventurous in the kitchen, whether it's about trying foods or trying a recipe or playing with a tool safely, or trying different combinations of things, even if it doesn't work out. I want there to be a curiosity and an adventurous spirit around food. And that's what I hope for. I want them to be more than just little people who are eating what's put in front of them and saying, I like this or I don't like that, but like, what is that, mom? Or can I buy this at the supermarket? Or can we try this, you know, in the pot of, you know, or in the dish tonight? And that sense of curiosity and adventure in the kitchen is what I'm hoping for. Because they're not going to leave, like, you know, with expert knife skills at 7 or 10 years old. They're not going to, you know, necessarily know how to read a recipe properly. But if they're excited about food and they're curious about food and ingredients, then they will continue to explore that.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you so much. This has been really great conversation. And I'm sure that our listeners learned a lot. And hopefully, if they have kids, they're sending their kids off to investigate what sort of cooking classes they might have at their school or at the camps.
I do hope so. And at the very least, sometimes I hear my students say, my mom or my grandpa, you know, don't let me cook in the kitchen. At the very least, let your kids in the kitchen. Let them touch, taste, smell, play, you know, make mistakes. And even if they never take a cooking class in their life, they're watching you and they're learning from you. And the kitchen is this magical place. And so hopefully they get to explore it.
Thank you so much. This was a conversation with Chef Andrea Mullenauer. And thank you all for listening.